The topic weight loss for women, as I shared before, is the number one thing that's Googled. We don't know whether it's males or females that Google it, but how do I lose weight or anything to do with weight loss is the number one hot topic on Google, which technically means it could be one of the hottest topics in the world. So if I ask you as a fitness professional what works, what actually works for women to lose weight, what never will, how do we lose weight as women perhaps differently to men, or the same as, and why does all of that happen? So they're the big questions for this evening. And the biggest differences between men and women, and I would like everybody's opinion on this and what you think. Based on my personal experience of training predominantly women for over 20 years and being a woman and half of the population being female, these seem to be the top challenges. Now, Marchand hit on it to start with. The difference between most men and most women, and I'm generalizing a lot tonight, but I'm again just giving an overview of personal experience in training lots of women and lots of research that's done on the differences between men and women. It seems to be that men have a more logical, common sense brain and women are far more emotional. And there are obviously both genders that will argue that, but if you have a look overall, it seems that women make decisions more emotionally than logically. And that's a big challenge when it comes to weight loss, because weight loss is, if it's about science, then it's all about logic. But when it comes to being emotional, then it sometimes doesn't make any sense. The other thing we found with women is that we're easily influenced. So I use this as an example. If there's a new cellulite cream and that's gone on the market, and 100 women try it, 94 out of 100 women will say it's a fantastic product and I can see visible results. But if you talk to the top scientists in the world about what cellulite actually is, it's not even a physiological part of the body. It's not even a physiological statement. So we tend to be easily influenced by either other women, by the media, by famous people, and that can be a real challenge when it comes to the common sense of weight loss. Once we've got we've been influenced, we now have an opinion. And if you've ever dealt with strong women, the word stubborn could come to mind. Once our opinion is set, it's very difficult to change a strong woman's mind. And once we've tried something, it's even harder to change our mind if we really believe that it's true. The next challenge we've got when it comes to weight loss for women is that most women are totally anti lifting heavy things. They don't want to lift heavy things because they're scared of getting bigger, they're scared of getting big muscles, not being feminine. And when it comes to weight loss, the logic shows very clearly that we've got to have strong muscles and strong bones to have a fast metabolism. So how do you deal with women who are totally anti lifting heavy weights or lifting heavy things or going to the gym? So that's one of the other big challenges for weight loss for women. And then the other interesting thing to take note of is that in the Western world, in a Western society, 74% of all buying decisions are made by women. Now, if you combine all of the emotion, so if I'm buying on emotion, if I'm buying because I'm easily influenced, if I'm buying because I've got a really strong opinion about something, and if I'm buying based on I don't like to do strength training, I don't like to lift heavy things, it makes for a very interesting challenge for a woman to lose weight permanently. And if you're a male, personal trainer, fitness professional, nutritionist, athletic coach, even a boss, it's going to be really interesting to help a woman either to lose weight or to feel really good about herself because all of those challenges. So if we have a little bit of a closer look at the emotional side of women, for the men, I'm not sure if you understand all of this, and for us women, we'll get it very, very easily. When we talk about emotion, we eat emotionally. So if you ask a bloke, why are you eating? He'll usually tell you because he's hungry. Now, again, I'm generalizing. But a lot of women will tell you, I'm eating because I'm angry, I'm eating because I'm frustrated, I'm eating because I'm happy, I'm eating because it's a social event, I'm eating because my family's all here, I'm eating because I'm stressed, I'm eating because I'm mad with my partner. So we tend to eat far more emotionally than we do logically. The same reasons why we decide not to exercise. So a bloke will say, It's raining, but I'm going to get sweaty anyway, so I'm going to go exercise. But a woman will be more about how she feels. I don't feel 100% today. I don't feel on top of my game today. I don't feel good about myself today. And there's some of the reasons why we don't exercise, which again are all emotional. Interestingly, as women, we care more or most about our family, our friends, the people in our life, our children that are really important. It's interesting when you have a look at the way men think, and again, this has been researched strongly, the differences between a man and a woman's brain, is that men seem to be success-focused, career-focused, business-focused, sporting-focused, and tend not to be as much family-focused. So that means they tend to be more selfish, which means looking good or being in great shape is more logical. Yes, I've got to look after me and be in great shape. Whereas women, we say, well, I've got to look after my family, so I'm not going to exercise today, or I've got to look after my family and make sure that they're being fed well and we don't look after ourselves, which is a real challenge, obviously, when it comes to weight loss. We're also far more, it seems to be as women, far more concerned about what other people think of us. So as it's really important that people think I'm a good mother, or they think I'm a good wife, or, you know, how's that woman going to the gym and not investing time with her husband or with her family? So because of what other people say, we tend to be more concerned about what other people think, which of course then goes back to the influence. We get easily influenced. It seems that women have a higher level of guilt related to eating food. So if you talk about, you know, I overate yesterday, most blokes will go, oh yeah, who cares? Whereas women will go, yeah, I feel really bad because I ate too much, or I feel really bad about myself because I didn't exercise, which then leads to more disordered eating. And again, we don't know too much about men because they don't talk to us as much about how they're feeling about their food, because feeling is all about emotion, and obviously men are more logical. So it's a real challenge for women then when we talk about food and exercise and guilt related, because then we go back to eating emotionally and not exercising because we're emotional. Women seem to be far more concerned about my ideal weight, my ideal size, my ideal body fat percentage and what it should be. So women will say, I should be a size 10, or I should weigh 60 kilos, or I should have a body fat percentage under 20%. We seem to be more focused on body image. And of course, if you've ever been to the beach, you'll see a bloke who's, you know, he's not in great shape and he's got a big hairy belly, and he's standing on the beach in his Speedos with his hands on his hips saying, hey, check me out, I'm gorgeous. And there will be a gorgeous woman who keeps her towel wrapped around her because she doesn't think she's got a great body. So there seems to be some disordered visual opinions about how our body looks. So men seem to be more a bit delusional about how good of a shape they're in, and women are the opposite. Now, what's really funny about that, by the way, just from a research point of view, is overall men are more overweight than women. Men carry weight in the front of their body where it's dangerous. So men are more likely to have health challenges from their weight. No woman's ever died of big hips, whereas lots of men, as soon as you've got a waist measurement of more than 100 centimeters, you're obviously now really challenged from a health point of view as a man. But it's a woman with big hips and a big bum, it's not unhealthy. So we don't die of being overweight, but we tend to have more emotional challenges because of it. And then we also think we're fatter. So you'll ask a group of men who are, again, more men are overweight than women, but they don't think they are. And if you ask women, how do you feel about your body, even if they're not overweight, they still don't like the way they look because they're focusing on their imperfections. So a woman might be overall in great shape and have a low body fat percentage and not need to lose weight, but she's still not happy about the way she looks, which of course is emotional, not logical. So there's some of the big challenges when it comes to emotion and women and weight loss, obviously. Then when you have a look at being easily influenced, here's just a couple of interesting examples. Anti-wrinkle cream is, in North America alone, $1 billion a year women spend on anti-wrinkle cream. Every single research study ever done by anybody of influence or a top-level university on anti-wrinkle cream will tell you that it doesn't work. But we still, as women, spend $1 billion a year just in North America alone on anti-wrinkle cream because we hope that it's going to work. And as I shared before, we'll see somebody on television who's, you know, I tried this product and 94 out of 100 women say they saw visible results and they have less wrinkles. So we go, oh, it must work. $60 million a year on cellulite cream in North America alone. That's just thinking, a woman thinking, I can rub a cream on my lumpy bits and it's going to burn it away. 74% of buying decisions, as I shared, are made by women, which means we're more likely or easily influenced by the TV quick fix exercise equipment. 74% of those sales are made by women, and they're the things that end up under the bed or in the cupboard or at the cash converters. We know that they don't work. We just hope they're going to work. They keep bringing out new different ab exercises and new different burn fat off your bum exercises, and we hope that they're going to work. We're easily influenced by the media. Women are far more influenced by famous and celebrity people. You'll often hear a bloke go, oh, that's ridiculous, that doesn't work, or what does that person know? But a woman says, oh, you know, if it works for her, maybe it's going to work for me. There's a big thing about women being influenced by the important people in our life. So we're influenced by our best friend, our mum, our sister. If they did it and it worked, we go, well, if it works for my sister and we're the same genetics, then it's going to work for me. Or I trust my best friend and she did it, so it's going to work for me. So we're easily influenced by other people. Interestingly, as females, the research shows that we are far more influenced by before and after photos. We go this, well, if she can do it, I can do it, and because we've seen the before and afters. Now, I wish this wasn't true, but unfortunately, most before and after photos are doctored. And of course, there's people that have lost lots of weight and they take pictures of themselves before and after. But when you're easily influenced by that person tried that pill, potion, powder program, they used to look like that and now they look like this. As women, we tend to be more influenced than men. And it's just an interesting take note for the men that are here. And as women, be aware that that's one of the things that we do. Then it comes plastic surgery. We would prefer to get liposuction because it seems easier. If it's Botox or it's a filler or any kind of plastic surgery quick fix, we seem to go predominantly, there's obviously far more women than men that have plastic surgery, and that's obviously on the increase. But just be aware that they're the things that change a woman's mind or influence her to think a certain way. And if you watch television ever at 2 or 3 in the morning, you'll know why there's so much confusion about weight loss, and particularly for women. And very, very interestingly is the word hope. And most of the people that sell us pills, potions, powders, and home exercise equipment, that's what they're actually selling us. They're selling us the hope that it will work. And as women, because we're more emotional and because we're easily influenced, we then believe that, well, if I hope it works for me, so maybe this one will work. Where a man is more likely to say, well, that doesn't make any sense, or that's not logical. So as fitness professionals, we need to be really aware that that's what's going on with people. Once we start something, and I'll say this again, as a stubborn woman, as a strong woman, once we've done something or once we've used it or once we believe it, it's now right. So for the men who are here, please be aware that if we believe it to be true, we are right. If we've tried it and whether it worked or not, it doesn't even matter, by the way. If I've tried it, I don't want to make a fool of myself and tell you that it didn't work, so I'm just going to say that it's right. Once it works once, it's always right. And you often talk to women who have tried a pill, powder, potion program, diet. They've lost weight, put weight back on again, but even though it didn't work, because they tried it once, they still believe it to be right. If it worked and this is for women who have a strong persuasion towards feminism, if we see a famous woman or a famous athlete, we tend to be, okay, well, it must be right because it worked for her. Again, friend, sister, mum, if my mum said it's right or my sister says it's right, it must be, so we believe it. And when we're opinionated and when we're stubborn and when we've made up our mind, obviously then it's much harder to get us to change our mind, or we're less likely to listen or be open to learning. And this is one of the challenges, and Martin touched on this. When you then want to give information to somebody who wants to lose weight, that can be really a complicated process because a woman will be more emotional, she's going to be more susceptible to influence, and now she's opinionated. Then comes this thing about anti-lifting. And obviously the woman on the left there, that seems to be the opinion that women have. I went to the gym one time and look what happened to me. versus the right-hand side, which is Stephanie, one of our students, who's competed now 2 years in a row. She's over 30. She's had two children. And obviously, she's not very big. In fact, she's tiny. She's only a size, perhaps a size 4 or a size 6. So the challenge we've got with this anti-lifting thing is because we're easily influenced by the media and we see the big bodybuilders, we then think as women, well, if I lift weights, I'm going to be too big, I'm going to be bulky, I won't be feminine. When you go to the gym, you've got to go like blokes do 5 to 7 days a week and you've got to do 27 exercises and I don't want to do it. And then, of course, that means we're ignorant to the benefits and results of strength training. Then comes along a bloke or a woman who does do strength training and she says, no, you don't get bigger when you do weights. And yes, you should lift weights, but we forget that we need to talk about not just the features and the benefits of strength training, but how you're going to feel when you are stronger. So then it comes down to communication. And remember, because we're opinionated and we're easily influenced, if I believe that I got bigger when I do strength training or I did a strength training program that made me bulky, then I'm going to really believe that. That's my opinion. So you can come along and tell me that women don't get bigger, but I'm not going to believe you because I have my own opinion already. And from a weight loss point of view, if I'm not doing strength training, then it's going to be very difficult for me to lose weight and keep it off. So that this again is one of the really big challenges. The last thing that we need to cover before we go into the actual how do I help women lose weight is that if women are making 74% of the buying decisions, which means I'm buying emotionally, I'm buying because I'm easily influenced, I'm buying because I'm opinionated, and now how does that affect my partner and my family? More importantly, as a woman, how does it affect my kids and particularly our little girls? So you'll often hear a family say, oh yeah, we're all eating vegan vegetarian because mum's gone vegan vegetarian. Or mum's on a low carb diet so there's no bread in the house. Or mum's decided that we all have to be healthy so all we're eating is fruit and vegetables. So because mum's making the buying decisions, that affects everybody in the family. If mum's buying pills and powders and potions and talking about losing weight and how important it is to be skinny and how you should weigh yourself and how you shouldn't do strength training because you're going to get really bulky, well, that opinion then, because mums are opinionated and we've bought the product or not bought the product based on our opinion, we then have a big effect on the entire family. And long term, how does that affect our attitude towards food and exercise? And often if you ask women, where does your opinion come from? How did you come up with this idea for how to eat and how to exercise? That often comes from what their mother said or what their friend said or what their girlfriend said or what their sister said. So that means that the things that are in the house, because we make the buying decisions, are based on our emotions. So now we've got this big circle of what's going to happen and how do we help people lose weight when they're opinionated, when they're emotional, and when they are easily influenced by other people. So we've got some challenges. So how do we make it work long term? How do we actually get women to lose weight and keep it off? What actually works? What doesn't work? And how do we communicate the information most effectively, particularly to women? And if you are wanting to build your business as a fitness professional, as a personal trainer, remember that 74% of buying decisions are made by women, which means even if a man's coming to you as a trainer, he's going to probably ask a woman in his life whether or not he should, and she could have some influence, 74% influence over whether or not he buys your product or service. So the big thing to consider is that women, and I don't think anybody does, but women in particular don't like being told what to do. We actually like to think for ourselves. And some people argue with me and say, yeah, but I'm a woman. I just want you to tell me what to eat, or I want you to tell me how to exercise. Just give me the exact plan that I need to do. But ultimately, if we want people to make a long-term change, do we need to tell them what to do, or we need to get them to think for themselves? It's a really important question. As a woman, please ask yourself that question. Do I really need a guru to tell me what to do, or should I actually work this out for myself so that if there's no guru there, I can still make up my own mind about whether a product is good or bad rather than being influenced by somebody in the social media or on television, et cetera, et cetera. The next question, and these are all questions as a woman I ask myself every day, and I'm asking you as a fitness professional to ask yourself the question. And third, if you are training women, maybe this next series of questions are great questions to give to your own clients to ask themselves. Obviously, I'll send you the notes from this session, but Please keep them in the forefront of your mind when you're chatting to people about their exercise and eating plan. These are great questions. And again, I'll go back to, is it better to tell people what to do or is it better to ask them questions? So this is a great question to ask a female client. Who should actually take full responsibility for your attitude, your weight, your fitness, your health, your energy levels? As a woman, I ask myself that question every single day. Who's responsible for me? Who's responsible for my happiness, my negative or positive attitude? Who's responsible for how much I weigh? Who's responsible for how fit I am? Who's responsible for how healthy I am? And who's responsible for how much energy I've got? Really great questions. Then, of course, there's this, I'm responsible for my body. Of course, the answer is I am. Nobody else is. I can't blame anybody else. So then there's this great series of questions. Most of you know them, but ideally you want to get your own clients to answer these questions because some women are perfectly on track. They've got a great eating plan. They've got a great exercise plan. Everything's working for them, but they just think they should be doing something different because everybody else is, or because the latest social media guru says you should do something different. So the four questions are, and ask yourself the same questions. Am I energetic all day, every day? Do I jump out of bed with energy, enthusiasm, and excitement? And do I maintain that throughout the day? So number one is all about energy. Number two is, do I perform at my best all day, every day? Number three, do I love what I see in a full-length mirror, whether it's naked or with my clothes on? And am I getting the results that I want from what I'm doing with my eating and my exercise plan? They're really powerful questions. And interestingly, if I am energetic and if I am performing at a top level and if I do like what I see in the mirror and if I am getting the results that I want, then I don't need to change. And they're the women that are delusional in the opposite direction, where they're actually doing everything right, but because everybody's doing something different or some pill, powder or potion, they think they need to change. The reverse of that, interestingly, is doesn't matter what exercise program I'm on or what eating plan that I've got an opinion about or I'm emotionally attached to, I absolutely believe is right. If I'm eating a certain way and exercising a certain way and I'm not energetic and I'm not performing at my best and I don't like what I see in the mirror and I'm not getting the results that I want, then obviously it's not working. And that's what's really interesting about our opinionated women's headspace is we will argue somebody else's opinion. So I've become an expert in a social fitness guru media's opinion and I'll argue it even though it's not working for me. So the point here is that I don't argue with you and I don't argue with my nutritionist or my personal trainer or the manager at my gym, is that I actually ask myself the questions and I'm honest with myself. And that's a great question to ask your client. Are you being honest with yourself? Do you have a stack of energy? Are you performing at a top level? Do you love what you see in the mirror? And are you getting the results that you want? And if you're not in any of those areas, what do you think you need to do? So as we know, there's this beautiful question that says, if you were your own high performance exercise coach, eating coach, what advice would you give yourself? And as a woman, this is a really great question again to ask. And I ask myself every day, do I want to be active and live with quality of life as I get older? There's plenty of women who live much longer than men. And in fact, that's a standard statistic across the world that women live longer than men, but with what kind of quality of life? And if you wake up every day with that conscious question in your headspace, do I actually want to be active and live with quality of life as I get older? Yes or no? And it's just a great question. Then do I want to be strong? Do I want to have a strong mind, strong muscles, strong bones, and live for a really long time with quality of life? Interestingly, dementia and Alzheimer's, big, horrible, debilitating ways to live for both men and women. But how do I keep a strong mind? And those of you who are absolutely passionate about your exercise know that the stronger your body gets physically, obviously the stronger your mind gets, or vice versa. The stronger you get your mind, the stronger you can push yourself through your exercise program. So if you feel like stopping and you keep going, your mind gets stronger. If you feel like you don't want to do another push-up but you do another one, your muscles get stronger, but so does your mind. So it's a great question to ask, do I actually want to be fitter and stronger? And for those of you who can see that photo, that's Wendy at 61 years young. I know 20-year-olds that would love to look like that. So how do I get to be strong, have a strong mind, have strong muscles and bones? It's a really great question. Then as I get older, do I actually want to feel young? And for somebody like me who's over 50, fit, healthy, strong, and has been all of my life now, it's a really amazing feeling to feel exactly the same as when I was 20. Because often I talk to 50-year-old women and they say, oh, I feel really old and I feel like I'm 70, 80, 90. Versus if you keep your body strong and if you keep your body lean and if you keep your body fit, then obviously you feel younger. And by the way, anti-aging is the trillion-dollar industry now across the world. The desire to stay young, and we as fitness professionals have the answer to that for all women and all men, is how to stay young for a long time is to obviously be healthy, fit and strong. So here's the questions that I'm obviously really passionate about, because you're now talking to somebody who's been the same weight, the same size, the same energy level probably since I was 13. I've got some clothes still that I keep in the cupboard just to remind me that these are the same clothes that I was wearing from when I was a teenager. So do I want to have a lean body for a lifetime? Do I want a fast metabolism? And do I want to be at my best weight, my best size, and my best energy level for a lifetime? These are all great questions to please get your clients to answer. Now, the challenge we've got is then what if I don't want to look after my body, or if I don't look after my body, what will happen? So a great question to ask again is, if you're your own high performance exercise coach, high performance eating coach, what are the things that will guarantee that you won't be lean and strong and young for a lifetime? What are the things that if you do these, you'll end up being overweight and weak and fat? So obviously no one's going to argue that negative attitude is going to get you old real fast. No one's going to argue that if you're inactive, you're going to get old and fat real fast. If you diet, it's going to slow down your metabolism. And just as an interesting side note, very difficult to find women that haven't dieted. They found them predominantly on farms. And the women that haven't dieted their whole lives have ended up thinner and healthier than and faster metabolisms than the women that have dieted their entire lives. So women that spent their life dieting to be thin ended up fatter than the women who didn't think about dieting at all. So that's an interesting, just a little fact to keep inside your head to share with your female clients. Obviously, if you're unfit and you're weak, you're going to end up being weak, old, and fat. And I'm going to put it as straight as that. If you want to be weak, old, and fat, the quickest way to do that is to have a negative attitude, be inactive, diet for your whole life, be unfit, and be weak. So then a great question to ask, again, your client is, do you want to have a strong mind? Do you want to have strong muscles? And do you want to have strong bones? If you are your own high performance coach, what do you think you should do? And this is where it becomes a little bit difficult from a logical point of view. Because we want to argue, as strong women, want to argue our point. But the question here is, what has not worked for me long term? So if I'm not in great shape and I'm not looking in the mirror and loving what I see, and I don't have a stack of energy and I'm not performing at my top level, whatever I'm doing hasn't worked for me. So that's a question not for you to tell somebody you're doing it wrong, but to ask the question. If you don't have a yes answer to these four questions, obviously what you've been doing hasn't worked. Would that be fair? Then what has worked for you long term? So what are some of the things that you are really happy with that have kept you fit, healthy and strong? And then will they continue to help you long term? And I'm going to say it again, it's a really great feeling when you're 50 plus to know that that didn't work, that has worked, and it has worked for me long term. And then of course the question is how and why. So the first thing is, and now we're getting into the solutions for making sure that we stay healthy, fit and strong for a lifetime. But again, please don't tell people what to do. It's all about asking the right questions. So a great question to ask all of, and in fact, all of your clients, but particularly women, is have you actually chosen a size, a weight and an energy level that you're really happy with and you'd like to stay that way for a lifetime? So what do you feel is your ideal size? What is your ideal weight? What is your ideal energy level? And what do we need to do to keep you there for the rest of your life? If you were your own high performance fitness coach, exercise coach, anti-aging coach, what advice would you give to yourself to stay that way for the rest of your life? Attitude, great question is, am I positive or negative? Nobody's going to argue that it's really difficult to enjoy your exercise program or enjoy your eating plan if you've got a negative attitude towards it. And same, the next question is really interesting. Do I do things for a positive or negative reason? And again, this is not for you to tell your clients, it's just questions to ask them. So when you go out to exercise, are you doing it with a positive attitude or a negative attitude? When you are eating food, are you doing it because you're happy about it or negative? When you start your exercise program, you're saying, I have to go and burn calories, lose weight, fit into my clothes. I hate going to exercise, but I better go anyway because I have to do it. And obviously then your kids hear you say that and your little girl hears you say that and it becomes a negative process versus I'm really excited I can go out to exercise and I've got the capability of moving my body. Isn't it awesome that I'm going to be healthy, fit and strong for the rest of my life? So if you want your clients to have a great attitude, you have to get them asking the questions, not you telling them. So am I positive or negative? Do I do things for a positive or negative reason? And then a really important question that I ask myself every single day, am I open to learning or do I know that already? The challenge we've got is if we say I know that already, we're completely closed off to learning. And why do I believe the things that I believe? Why am I exercising this way? Why am I eating this way? Is there a better way? Is there a safer way? Is there a faster way? Which is those three words, safer, faster, better, or easier, better, faster. Make sure that you're getting your clients to think for themselves rather than you telling them. The next two questions are absolutely fascinating. Do I eat for energy and performance? Now, I'm not asking you to tell your clients what to eat. I'm asking you to ask them that question. Am I eating for energy and performance? Because remember, women, we tend to eat emotionally. So we eat because we're angry, we eat because we're stressed, we eat because we've had a bad day. Versus, am I eating right now because I want to have energy so I can perform at my top level? And then, what do I choose to eat and how much? I get to choose. And interestingly, the top corner there is avocados, olive oil, and nuts, all considered to be very healthy fat right now. And there's the easily influenced women will tell you that it's really important to eat good fats. But also be aware that if you eat too much of anything, you're going to be chubby. So a lot of women will justify, yes, I'm eating all this healthy fat or I'm eating all this healthy food. But you can still get really chubby eating healthy food because you're just eating too much of it. But if you tell your client that, then they could get aggressive, they could be opinionated, they've been easily influenced by the latest social media talk, which is all about healthy fat. So the question to ask is, when you eat, do you choose what you're going to eat? Has anybody ever forced you to eat when you didn't want to? Does anybody sneak into your house at night and try and force food down your throat when you're eating? And who's always there when you're eating your food? So that people start taking responsibility for what they're actually choosing to eat and how much they're eating. And they're great questions to ask ourselves. Am I eating for energy and performance? And am I choosing to eat what's going to give me energy and performance? And I also get to choose how much. So again, great questions. Then do I choose or do I want to be fit? Do I want to stay fit and do I want to keep my body fit for the rest of my life? Do I want a lean body that burns fat fast? Then how do I get fit? And rather than telling people this is what you should do to get fit, what if you ask the question, how do you think you get fit? Do you think it's by being puffed or not puffed? How long do you think it takes to get puffed? Let's give it a crack. So that I'm getting my clients now, or my women in particular, to start thinking for themselves rather than I'm telling them what to do. Then I ask the question, what are my excuses versus the consequences and the results? So if I have a fit body and it doesn't take me very long to get fit and I can maintain a great fitness level for the rest of my life, what's the consequence of that? I'll have a fast fat burning machine. I'll have a respiratory quotient where my body prefers to burn fat. I'll have great skin, great hair, great nails. I won't get sick as often because I've got a great immune system. That's the consequence of being fit. If I make an excuse of I haven't got time to get puffed a few times every day, what's the consequences? I'm going to have a slow metabolism. I'm going to get sick more often. I'm going to have dry hair and dry skin and flaky nails. And if I get my client to say that to themselves rather than me telling them, then they start taking responsibility for their own fitness and their own health. And please be aware that if we go back to basics, if I say to you, how do I get fit? Nobody's going to argue that the only way to get fit is to get puffed. And nobody's going to argue that to get puffed doesn't take very long. Fit people get puffed really quickly if you put an effort in. Unfit people get puffed really quickly if you put an effort in. The only difference is that the recovery rate in between. So if I can choose to get puffed 3 or 4 times during the day, then my only consequence is I'm going to have a body that's a fast fat burning machine. Then the last question is this: do I actually want to get strong, be strong, and stay strong for the rest of my life? Do I want a lean, strong body that burns fat fast? And the great question again to ask is, what does muscle do inside your body? What's its purpose for being there? Because that's the big thing about women. Oh, I don't want to do strength training. Well, it's not about doing strength training. It's about, do you actually want to be strong physically and mentally so that the muscles in your body, the engine in your body, become a faster fat burning machine? And then, of course, ask your client, how long does it take to get strong? And what do I actually have to do to get strong? And there's always the two questions. So do you think it takes a long time or a short time? What if you could do a strength training program in 3 minutes, for example? And most people don't, it's just not comprehensible that you could possibly do that. But as we know, the body has a push, only has 3 movements. We can push with the upper body, pull with the upper body, and lower our body down to the ground by using all the muscles in our legs. So if I use big muscle groups, as many muscle groups as possible, I do big exercises, all I've got to do now is overload each muscle. If I'm underloading and not lifting as heavy as I can lift, I won't get stronger. If I am lifting heavy, then I will get stronger, which then I will have my muscles pulling on my bones, which means I get stronger bones, I get stronger muscles, I get a faster metabolism. What are the consequences and the results of that? Is that I'll be lean, I'll be strong, I'll be active, and I can stay that way for the rest of my life. What are the consequences of deciding not to do a strength training program? I will have weak muscles, I'll have a slow metabolism, I'll have weak bones, I'll get osteoporosis, I'm much more likely to be overweight, and I'll be inactive as I get older because I won't be able to move because I won't be strong. And if I get my clients saying that those things to themselves versus I have to go to the gym and lift weights, which we know we don't, as long as we're overloading our muscles in some way. And just so you know, this is the Palace of Versailles in Paris. And I always do push-ups in famous places, so I can say that I've done push-ups in famous places. And when you do a full set of push-ups and you keep going till you can't do any more, that's pretty much all you need to do for your upper body. So there you go. The last question for the evening is, how little time do I actually have to invest each day to keep my metabolism fast, my mind and bones and muscles strong? And again, what are the if I make excuses for not doing it versus I do it? And I'm going to share this with you again because this is my passion, obviously. I hope you can hear it in my voice, is to get people to exercise in the least amount of time possible rather than the most. Those of you that love to exercise, that's fantastic, but most people don't. So to prove a point, I've now invested most of my life studying people who do small amounts of exercise and get the best results, and obviously putting that into practice for myself. And in as little as 3 to 4 10-second bursts of very hard exercise every day and about 3 minutes of strength training exercise once a week, it's really cool to be over 50 and still be the same weight, same size, same energy level as when I was 20. And when I say, is it possible for me, is it possible for other people? The physiology says so, the science says so, and the people that do it say so. If we want to make exercise complicated and hard, and we want to sell a product to women, and we'll please understand that women are easily influenced and they'll do whatever you tell them to do unless you can get them to think for themselves. And that's all I'm asking you guys to do as fitness professionals, is weight loss is actually simple, and long-term maintenance of a weight and a size and an energy level that you are excited about and that you absolutely love is not complicated. And I think it's our responsibility as fitness professionals to make sure that the exercise programs that we're giving to people are short and sharp and easy for people to do. So last but not least, we actually choose now as men and women, but I'm now talking directly to the women because remember 74% of buying decisions are made by women. We actually choose whether we're lean, strong and young, or whether we're fat, weak and old. And I'm not going to apologize for saying fat, weak, and old, because that is exactly what happens if we don't take full responsibility for our body. So it's a simple process of getting people fit, getting people strong, and having a positive attitude. And then we will actually be lean, strong, and young rather than fat, weak, and old. Hello.